You are listening to an SAFM podcast, 104 to 107 nationwide. Stream us live on www.safm.co.za or via the SABC Plus app. SABC News, independent and impartial.
Ibrahim, thank you for your time with us this morning. Terry Dzilane, we've been talking about this this morning, of course, feeling that it is an ill-advised stance to take, and in fact, a decision to have been taken by the IEC to challenge this matter and taking it to the Concorde. Are you in agreement with that view that this this action is ill-advised by the IEC?
Morning, Sabenzula, and morning to your listeners. Thanks, firstly, for getting me up this early on a weekend. Very few other people have been able to do so, so credit to you. I'm afraid I'm at sixes and sevens because this thing is only ill-advised if the appeal is against the candidature of Mr. Zuma. And let's just stop there for a moment. We need to basically write Mr. Zuma out of this question, because this appeal has absolutely nothing to do with the candidature of Jacob Zuma. So it's only ill-advised if that is the case. What the IEC is doing is asking the Constitutional Court for clarity in terms of the IEC's own role and function in terms of Section 47E. And the reason why is because it appears as if the Electoral Court is suggesting that the IEC must have absolutely no role in deciding whether candidates are fit for office in the National Assembly or not, and it's only the National Assembly must do so. Mm-hmm. So it's unsurprising that the IEC says, hey, our role is to draw up the candidates' lists on the basis of nominations from parties. Parties can decide whatever their own internal processes are. But if there are objections against people on the list, and those objections are enshrined, the process of objections are enshrined in the law, surely we should be able to adjudicate who's in or out. Otherwise, for example, let's just say, hypothetically, unrehabilitated insolvents, and this should be part of the law, unrehabilitated insolvents can't be members of parliament. What if, hypothetically, 400 unrehabilitated insolvents appear all over all the different political party lists, and they all end up in parliament? So must parliament only at that point decide, oh no, these 400 are not in, so we must regulate our membership, let's restart the entire process again? You'll go through an endless process of list making. So obviously the IEC here is simply saying, hey court, tell us, do we have a role here or not? Or do you only want us to decide where the 23,000 voting stations are and hire the staff and print the ballot papers, and that's all our role must be? So I think we must just take this entire, this is all about Mr. Zuma, out of the question. It has absolutely nothing to do with him.
What does it hurt, Ibrahim, just to follow and stick to your train of thought for a moment, what does it hurt for the IEC to only get clarity on this issue after the May 29th elections? So I think it's also the urgency as well of this appeal to say, well, we actually want to get a sense of it now before we go to the polls. Does it do great harm if for this particular election you move on as things are, because there isn't a lot of time, and then you get this clarity after the fact and give yourselves a lot more time to actually ventilate these issues and understand them a lot better?
No, that kind of reasoning, Sabenzile, only applies if your objection is to the particular candidature of the specific individual. It is not. If in the process of raising objections, because you know the party lists are open for inspection, right?
Yes.
As is the voter's role and so on. So now what we are telling the IEC is forget it for this election. We don't have to worry. People can sort of nominate whoever they want, and whatever objections are made on the basis of any candidate on any party list, you must have no role for this for 2024 election. We'll only deal with this we will forget about this for 2024. We'll deal with it only for 2029 and beyond. Well, then what is the IEC supposed to do for this election? So So what we're saying here is that clearly the IEC needs to be certain that tomorrow if I wake up and I want to go and object to someone on the ANC or the EFF or the DA or Action SA or any party for that matter, I want to go and object to one of the candidates who are on their lists. Must the IEC just sit back and say, sorry, you can lodge your objection, but only when the National Assembly meets a week or 2 weeks after the 29 May 2024 election, can they deal with it? For now, don't worry about it. We can't do that. So it's obvious that they're not doing this and wanting to ventilate this beyond this election. They have to, by necessity, have to do it for this election, because the issue here is not about a particular individual or a particular candidate. It's about their role in sifting out those people on who objections are being made. I don't understand why there's this kind of, no, the IEC is being a partisan player. They're not being a player. They are not raising an objection on the basis of a particular individual. They are raising a question about their fundamental existence, their role and function in the process. And so all of the news headlines which says, oh, the IEC is actually appealing the candidature of Mr. Zuma, that is completely propaganda, and that is falling into the hands of actually the media playing politics on behalf of one individual. It has absolutely nothing to do with them.
Okay, so let's look at the next steps then, Ibrahim, and this then goes to the Concord. There's been quite a bit of debate already about whether or not somebody, for example, like the Chief Justice Raymond Zondo, being seen as conflicted in this matter, and that he should perhaps recuse himself, because again, you're adding to that narrative of, look, once again, former President Zuma is the victim.
No, the narrative has been constructed by those people who are pushing it, and everyone else is adopting it. If they simply were slightly more discerning about what the narrative is, it wouldn't be pushed and it wouldn't be made the narrative. So it isn't the narrative at all, actually, and shouldn't be the narrative. Of course, they're going to want to do it. But let's just be realistic here. There has been an objection about Chief Justice Zondo from the get-go, that he's biased, he's this, he's that. You can take any institution. Look, it's not just Chief Justice Zondo. It's about prosecutors. It's about other judges. Every time a judge does not, or judgment does not go in your favor, you construct a political narrative. You victimize, you create yourself as the victim, the perpetual and eternal victim, by the way. This person has been a victim from 2005. And I can't imagine that for close on to two decades, we've allowed this individual to continue caricaturing themselves and the society by painting themselves as a victim. But we also have to ask very serious questions about the very political party which allowed this narrative to take root, which propounded this narrative, which held it up, which elected this very individual who they now find distasteful to be their president. Not once,
twice
over. Not just for the party, but for the republic. So they also must answer these questions. Then Mr. Zuma himself, who wants to raise objections about the IEC, for the two decades in which he was in power and longer when he was in the ANC, did he not have any objections about the IEC then? So I think the public must be very clear.
Yeah.
This IEC is actually a very good one. It administers elections very well, and all of the spurious allegations are being made by political parties are either to scapegoat their own poor performance, or they want to destabilize the process of elections so much that they can actually call the result into question.
We'll leave it there this morning. Ibrahim Fakir, consultant and election analyst at EISA. Thank you very much for your time.
You can find SAFM Current Affairs on 104 to 107 nationwide. Our podcasts are available for download on all our digital platforms. SAFM, leading the conversation.